Hey, I'm Johanna Wagstaff.
And hi there, I'm Rohith Joseph.
And we're asking for 10 minutes of your day to go through the 10 things that the UN recommends we can all do when it comes to climate change.
Please don't leave.
No.
And also, the things aren't new.
We are just wired to not do them.
We promise you to help you figure out your brains, and you and your people can make better choices to combat climate change.
10 Minutes to Save the Planet is available now on CBC Listen and everywhere you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
This is World Report. Good morning. I'm Marcia Young. People in Rafah are in mourning. The health ministry says at least 20 Palestinians were killed by Israeli airstrikes overnight. And right now, there are international efforts to prevent a full-scale invasion. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Saudi Arabia for talks aimed at easing the suffering in Gaza. Abiku Dawson has the latest.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the most effective way to get more aid into Gaza is through a ceasefire.
Hamas has before it a proposal that is extraordinarily generous on the part of Israel.
It reportedly includes a several-week pause in fighting and an exchange of fewer than 40 hostages for Palestinian detainees in Israeli prisons. But a major gulf remains between the two sides on whether the ceasefire is temporary or permanent. Countries working to help mediate the talks are also deeply concerned about a possible IDF ground assault on Rafah, where about 1.5 million Palestinians are sheltering.
We have to do our utmost best to prevent this kind of invasion to Rafah.
Egyptian Prime Minister Mustafa Madbouly says they need to work out a long-term solution for everyone in the region.
At least a period where they can start the negotiation, that any kind of negotiation end up with the two-state solution.
Israel believes about 133 hostages are still inside Gaza, some of them dead. Foreign Minister Israel Katz has suggested a Rafah incursion could be suspended if captives are released. But that has not gone over well with some hardliners in the coalition government, who say the military objective of defeating Hamas is integral to national security. Abby Kwabas in CBC News, London.
I am encouraged that the world is paying attention to what's happening.
This student is one of the many camping out at the New York Columbia's University campus. Classes end there today. Some students are still pushing their school to cut ties with Israeli-affiliated companies. They do not want their tuition dollars supporting the war in Gaza. And they say they will not leave until their demands are met. Demonstrations in support of Palestinians in Gaza continue at campuses across the United States and Canada. Freelance reporter Steve Futterman has the latest.
As each day goes by, the protests on college campuses are growing both in number and in size, and there is no end in sight. This is what it sounded like in St. Louis this weekend at Washington University. This man who was arrested said he would do it again to bring attention to the plight of those in Gaza.
If all I have to risk is maybe sitting in a cell for a minute to help that, I will.
In Boston, on the campus of Northeastern University, dozens were taken into custody. There have been protests in Louisiana, North Carolina, Connecticut, Texas. And here in Los Angeles yesterday, some tense moments as dueling protests took place. Pro-Palestinian protesters came face-to-face with pro-Israeli demonstrators as they each tried to outshout the other.
Take off your mask, you coward!
There were a few skirmishes, some pushing and shoving, even some punches, but they were all brief. This pro-Israeli demonstrator wants the pro-Palestinian encampment removed.
Why should all the Jewish students be so intimidated? I can't say what they've written on the walls, but F-LAPD, F the Jews.
The one thing no one knows right now is how and when these protests will end. Steve Futterman for CBC News, Los Angeles.
Ukraine needs more weapons and ammunition now, says President Volodymyr Zelensky. He is asking allies like the U.S. to speed up the process.
Вчасна підтримка нашої армії. Сьогодні позитиву,
He says Russian forces are trying to take advantage of the delays in weapons deliveries to Ukraine. Zelensky is meeting with NATO chief Jens Stoltenberg in Kyiv today. Stoltenberg says Ukraine has been outgunned for months.
But it's not too late for Ukraine to prevail. More support is on the way. Other allies are looking into what more they can do, and I expect new announcements soon.
Stoltenberg says it is up to NATO allies to ensure their announcements of military aid are turned into actual deliveries as soon as possible. He says if they face a choice of meeting their NATO targets or supporting Ukraine, they should support Ukraine. Farmers in Poland have called off their protest at a major border crossing with Ukraine. For months, they had blocked the border. They were concerned about unfair competition from Ukrainian imports and grain prices. Polish farmers met with the country's agriculture minister, and the last crossing was cleared today. Trucks transporting grain from Ukraine will still face some restrictions. Negotiations are still ongoing. The head of a local farmers' organization says the blockades could resume if talks do not progress. Alberta is fighting fire with fire. It is trying to prevent a bad wildfire season by clearing forest floors of materials that can easily ignite. These prescribed burns are part of a long-standing Indigenous tradition. And as Travis McEwen reports, some First Nations and Métis settlements want to take on that work.
Will it burn again? We don't know.
Almost a year ago, Raymond Superno led a crew of community firefighters against a wildfire that ended up destroying dozens of homes in the East Prairie Métis settlement.
And I sure don't want to go there again. Where I can protect something, I'd rather do protection now than later.
Wildfire crews in Alberta have been busy conducting prescribed burns, hoping to prevent the kind of devastation the province saw last year. But Superno says this doesn't go far enough, and the community would like the power to do it themselves.
It doesn't fit what we really need. There has to be more done. And I communicated this to the ministry.
CBC News reached out to Alberta Wildfire for comment, but didn't hear back in time. Meanwhile, northeast of Edmonton, the province's crews carried out prescribed burns on the Beaver Lake Cree Nation. The community's fire chief is glad the province is embracing the practice.
Rejuvenate the land, helps get the medicines back, burns off the invasive species of plants, and brings back the natural habitat.
Shane Bear says for now, he's happy to have his rookie firefighters learn from the province's crews with the goal to eventually use a traditional method. Travis McEwen, CBC News, Edmonton.
Imagine having your image stolen off social media and used by romance scammers over and over to create fake online profiles. That is what happened to a man in Austria. His pictures were stolen by a romance scammer who tried to trick GoPublic reporter Erica Johnson. After CBC reported that story, the real man in the photos reached out from 7,000 kilometers away. Erica picks up the story.
2 months ago, I told the story of a romance scammer who tried to woo me on Instagram, but ended up confessing when I called him out. He said he created the fake profile on Instagram using photos he stole off social media. Well, someone recognized the real man in those photos in our GoPublic TV report and sent him the story. We caught up with that real guy overseas in Vienna. He couldn't believe he was on the Canadian news.
My heart was beating faster, you know. I got a hot flash, I started to sweat, and my first thought was, okay, what I do now?
Turns out he's a bit of a European celeb, Ziggy Fink, a weatherman for Austria's public broadcaster. In this social media world, losing control over your image can be stressful, says Nafisa Ismail, a psychology professor at the University of Ottawa.
You feel very powerless in this situation, and it causes a lot of stress in trying to see, well, how can I prove myself as being innocent?
Fink says he sometimes hears from women who thought they were talking to him, like A.H. CBC isn't using her full name because she fears for her safety. She sent a scammer $10,000, realized the ruse when she stumbled across the real Ziggy Fink on Facebook.
It was unbelievable. It was really unbelievable when I saw this.
Fink has filed a police report to say he's innocent, but says with a public job, he has to keep his social media accounts open, even to scammers. Erica Johnson, CBC News, Vancouver.
We have smartphones.
Hey Siri.
Smart TVs.
Menu, five items, one picture.
Even smart doorbells. But a lot of those devices are being locked with some pretty dumb passwords, things that are easily guessed, like 12345 or admin. But now the United Kingdom is taking steps to save us from ourselves. As of today, manufacturers are legally required to protect smart devices from cyber criminals. That includes prompting us to change any weak passwords. And that is the latest national and international news from World Report. Very well protected with strong passwords. I'm Marcia Young.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.